My name is Susan Jefferson, and Augustus Hawkins was my uncle. When I was a little girl, I used to call him Uncle Gut because for some reason, even though my name is Susan, I couldn't say S on his name. And I just thought he was magical because whenever he was in town, of course, we had family dinner, and my mother would cook everything that he ever wanted, and I just couldn't figure out how he got her to do that. I didn't know at the time, you know, this was her baby brother, and this is how she spoiled him, and she didn't get to see him that much because I was too little. So I always thought of him as kind of the magic man because he could make my mother jump through hoops. He was quite comical. He had a great sense of humor, which, you know, because of the kind of work he did, didn't always come out. He liked to dance. You know, music would come out, and he'd stand up and put his little finger in the air, kind of how people dance. He loved classical music, but, you know, if some good jazz or more some good, I guess, music that came along when he came along, you know, kind of jazz with a beat, sometimes he would get up and dance.
Hi, I'm Maxine Waters, and I represent the 35th Congressional District in the Congress of the United States, and Augustus Hawkins was my predecessor. He represented the area that I now represent for about 28 years in Congress. Congressman Hawkins was responsible for tremendous legislation when he was in Congress. He worked on the Civil Rights Act, and particularly that portion of it that established the Equal Opportunity Commission. That was extremely important. But he also created the JEPTA program, the Jobs Partnership Training Act program, and, of course, the Hawkins-Humphrey Act for full employment, which a lot of people refer to today. All of those were tremendously important pieces of legislation that he was responsible for.
Alva Moore Stevenson, and I'm an interviewer and program representative for the UCLA Center for Oral History Research. We did two interviews with him. That's how I got to know him. One of his most important contributions was for the education of African-American children, but also children as a whole, in terms of ensuring that African-American children, all children, had a quality education. That was something that was a passion of his.
My name is Diane Watson. I'm the Congresswoman for the 33rd Congressional District. My relationship with Gus Hawkins starts with my father, who gave Gus the first fundraiser in the early 1930s. He was our hero. He left us a legacy, and he broke the barriers and opened the door wide so the rest of us could come through.
Yvonne Burke, Supervisor, 2nd District, Los Angeles County. I first met Congressman Augustus Hawkins when I was a student at UCLA, and he came to speak as a guest speaker to my legislation class. And from that, I got to know him. Later, when I decided to run for the assembly, he supported me, and I worked with him in Congress. Congressman Hawkins was a leader in terms of he was the second African-American ever elected to the legislature and the first African-American from California elected to Congress.
Augustus Hawkins was a man who got elected to the Congress of the United States at a time when African Americans didn't get elected very much to the Congress of the United States. And he went there and had a clear agenda to fight for the people who didn't appear to be on America's agenda and to fight for education, to improve education, and to give them an opportunity to be all that they could be in a society that made education its number one priority.
My first name is Alfred, middle initial S. My last name is Moore. I retired from the LAUSD as an assistant superintendent of Administrative Region D, which were the 81 schools from Mulholland Drive to Slauson, from Western Avenue to the city of Venice. And my relationship with the congressman is over the years, he was a pillar of our community. When he became an assembly person, he was the person we saw on those key bills that related to civil rights and related things to reduce the things that were happening to Mexican-American and African-American people in this city in terms of where you could go to school, where you could work, and where you could actually do the things of buying a home. His district, in which he was elected, covered most of south central and western parts of Los Angeles up until around La Brea and Crenshaw.
After the Watts riots, he was instrumental in bringing funding in to be sure that the needs of Watts residents were addressed. But, I mean, you can even look around in South Central. There's a Augustus Hawkins Natural Park. There's an Augustus Hawkins Mental Health Center. His footprint is everywhere.
His legacy in South Los Angeles is a member of Congress of the United States of America who was proud to represent an area that was known as a troubled area, that spoke about Watts and spoke about South Central Los Angeles and stood up and fought for South Central Los Angeles and checked on the federal funds that were coming in from the government to City Hall to make sure that those monies were getting to the people that he wanted them to get to. So I think his legacy is a man of quiet strength and power who fought for the people who sent him there.
When he went into the state legislature, he was the second African-American political person to become an assemblyman. He personifies education as a cornerstone of character building, of citizen building, and literally nation building.
He paved the way for every black legislator in the city, state, and national scene. But particularly here in Los Angeles, all of our local black politicians can thank him for the fact that they were able to serve.
My favorite story, Shirley Chisholm told me that when she first came to Congress, she was first elected, she witnessed Gus Hawkins giving speeches about his district, and he kept referring to the Watts portion of his district. And she thought to herself, what a very kind white man that cares so much about his district and all of the people in it, and he certainly is a great advocate for black people. And that was a funny story for me because Gus Hawkins was an African-American, a very, very fair complexion, so she just didn't know.
If you ever saw him and he were in a crowd, you would not know that he was a black man. But he was the blackest of African-Americans in terms of his commitment and dedication to the success and the raising of his people. I will always remember how he endeavored, as long as he was alive, to see that there was fairness and justice and inclusion of African Americans.
He stood up for black people. He created the fair housing that allowed them to live wherever they lived, and he provided jobs through different programs. He cared about them.
His big thing was full employment in the later years, and he worked so hard with Hubert Humphrey on a full employment bill that he felt everyone in the United States should have an opportunity to be employed if they were willing to be employed and that there should be the opportunities for them.
He was able to pass all of this legislation to make this great impact without seeking publicity. And I think that's a stark contrast to the politicians of all colors and the way they conduct business.
He was an example on how to carry yourself with respect and integrity and also to look out for other people and not just yourself, to be giving, to do service to your community.
The last time I saw him was in Congress, and I walked out of one of the rooms, walking down the hall, and this is just three years ago, was Gus Hawkins. And first of all, I just didn't expect to see him walking down the hall. And then when I saw him, I remembered that he was like 97 years old at the time. And stopped and we talked, and he talked about the work that he was doing with education and how he was continuing to be involved in education. And I remember thinking, as I looked at him, here was this former member of Congress who was now very much up in age but looked so fit. He was always immaculate and well-tailored, well-dressed. And how, even at this date in his life, he was thinking about what could he do to better education for the children of this country.
My favorite personal story was in the fall of 2003. I went to visit him and his wife Elsie at their home in D.C. near Capitol Hill. And he was such a gracious and down-to-earth man that he served me lunch. And we talked for about 4 hours one-on-one. He was such a modest individual, just down-to-earth, that he served me lunch. And I think probably at that 2003, I think he was probably, I don't know, maybe 97 or 98 years old.
I told some stories about visiting Washington, D.C. from time to time and having breakfast with Gus. And every time I was there, he would just order oatmeal for breakfast. And I said to someone,
why is it that when I'm with Gus, all he eats is oatmeal? They said, well, Gus Hawkins eats oatmeal every morning of his life. And then I thought to myself, you know, he lived to be 100. Perhaps I should eat oatmeal.
He lived 100 years, and I think that was his destiny. To have a century where he had a tremendous impact will always be remembered and will always benefit. He left a tremendous legacy, and he is our hero.
He was a quiet, strong man who did things to help the American people in this city, this state, and this country.
He said we had a lot of work to do. He kind of put that in thought out. We still had a lot of work to do. The work wasn't finished.